Welcome to all. Today's office is Shalom Yuma, Per Gimel, near the end of Halacha Ches, and it's always about the Daf and Chaf Beis Amud Beis, about 7 lines up from the bottom at the 2 dots with the quote from the Mishnah, Afi Asa Tavol Shel Zav, and the article Tursa Daf and Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, 4 lines in, and today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas, Marsh Mem Sarbas Raka Moshe, Her Nish, Amal Shet Havan Uliyah. As Mishnah was talking about what Hilani Hamalka had done for the Beis HaMikdosh, and told us, Afi Asa Tavol Shel Zav, She Parsha Soit Ksuva Aleo, she also made this golden tablet that the Parsha of Soit was written on. Let's remember what this is referring to, so we know that a Soita is one who's suspected of adultery. Her husband brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, and as part of a whole process in determining whether or not she's guilty, the Kohen writes the whole parsha of Soita down from the Torah on a piece of parchment. It gets erased in water, and then she drinks that water, and that checks whether or not she's guilty. And in order to prevent a sefer Torah from being taken out every single time, Hilani Hamalka just had parsha Soita written down on a golden tablet, so that's what the Kohen would be able to copy off of. Now, this is a little bit of out of place in Gemara, so you have to skip about 4 lines down to where the Gemara says Rav Shimon Lakish. So here we have an explanation. Rav Shimon Lakish says, B'shem Rabbanai, Aleph Beis HaYikasav Aleha. Just Aleph Beis was written on it, not actually Aleph Beis. It just means that the actual words and psukim of Parsha Soita were not written on this tavla. It was the first letter of every word. That's what Aleph Beis means. That's what was written down, and the Kohen would look at it and he'd remember, oh, Aleph means Amar, let's say, and Chaf would mean Kohen, so on and so forth. And the reason why it was like this is because it was actually an Isser to write segments of the Torah without writing it as part of the entire Torah. You can't just take out a section of the Torah and write it down, and that's what was just written down in an acronym on this tablet, Aleph Beis, or whatever the letters were, and not the real word. Gemara, how could you explain this? Vatani, we have a brass that's written beferosh, keksav shakan, king sav shakan. Just like it's written here, it's written there. Meaning, just like it's written in the Sefer Torah, it's written on the tablet. Chaf gimel amud aleph on top, loyma ovav loy meiduk elabainani. Not wide, not thin, rather average script. So we see that all the words in psukim were written down. The answer is possibly get explained. Aleph shakan, kain aleph shakan, kebez shakan, kain bez shakan. It means that the first letter of every word that was written down, aleph bez, whatever it was, that was written the same size, the same width, the same shape, same everything as in the Sefer Torah, but the words were not actually written. Now here we have Machlaikas, Tani Rabbi Shai. Rabbi Shai teaches, Kol Parsha Soita Hayakas Valeo, that the entire Parsha Soita was written on it. Shemen Hayakire, this is where the Kohen would read from, Umatargim Kol Dikduke Parsha, and he would translate, he would clarify all the specifics of the Parsha to the woman and everyone who was there as part of the whole situation of the Soita. And now the last thing the Mishnah said, Nikonur Nasu Nisim Ladal Soita Maskirnois Leshevach, with Nikonur, a nace happened with the doors of Nikonur, and they mentioned him in a praiseworthy manner, and Tani, we have a Braisa explaining briefly what went on over here. There was a story they were coming on the ship. This is referring to Nicanor, who had went out of Eretz Yisrael to Alexandria in Egypt. That's where they had wonderful craftsmen who were extremely skilled. They built these huge copper doors over there, and he put them on a boat. On the way back to Eretz Yisrael, what happened? A huge storm stood up against them, obviously threatened to sink the ship. And they took one of the doors, and they threw it into the sea in order to lighten the load. And they wanted to throw the other door in, and he stood up and he hugged the door. And he told them, if you're going to throw into the sea, hiti luni imai, throw me in with it. And they didn't. They left it, and actually the storm abated. And v'hayu b'chol m'sabu l'ba, he was crying and mourning as they were going along because he lost one of the doors. Ad shigil mina shel Yafai, until they reached the port of Yafai. And kim shigil mina shel Yafai, once they reached the port of Yafai, hischum v'abayim b'tachsa sfina, on days happened, they saw that it started poking out from under the ship. This massive, heavy copper door was floating under the ship the whole time. And more about these doors, kaitinin tamar, it's like we learned over there in Mishnah, kol sha'arm shayu sham, all the gates that were in the Beis HaMikdash, Nishtanu Liyas Shel Zav, they changed them to be gold. Originally, they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have a lot of money, so they built copper doors, and then, when they became more prosperous and wealthy, they changed them to gold doors. Chotz Mishari Nikonor, except for the doors of Nikonor, B'neishan Asa B'hanes, because the nes happened with them. Now, V'yashar, some say, why weren't Nikonor's doors changed? B'neishan Echushtan Matziv, that's because their copper was so shiny, it was like gold. And Tanu B'shem Rebelezer, we have a B'rais and Rebelezer, Nechushtan Ahaya Matziv, Yoyser Yafim Mishal Zav, that their copper glowed, it was very shiny, and it was actually nicer than gold. And moving on to Halacha Tes, the Mishnah tells us, Ve'il Le'Gnai, the following people are mentioned for the Gnai in a derogatory fashion. The previous Mishnah was all about wonderful people who did great things. The following people is Le'Gnai, and we're going to see over here, the Mishnah in Gemara is very similar to something that we had in Maseches Shkalim. So number one is Beis Garmu, the family of Garmu, Lo Ratzu Lamed Amayis Lechem Apanim, they didn't want to teach how to make the Lechem Apanim properly. And Beis Aftinus, which is another family, Lo Ratzu Lamed Amayis Lechtiris, they didn't want to teach how to make the Lechtiris properly. And Hogdus Ben Levi, this was a fellow, Hayyadeh Parak Bashir, he knew how to do something very special with singing, and Veloy Ratzel Lamed, he didn't want to teach that. And Ben Kamtzer, Loy Ratzel Lamed Amayisak Sav, Ben Kamtzer was a fellow who didn't want to teach how to write. He had this special thing that he would put 4 pens or 4 quills in between his fingers, and he was able to write the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei all in one shot. And that's a great Kavit Hashem to be able to do that, and he didn't want to teach that either. And Al Rishayim Nemer, Zechat Zalik Levracha, regarding the earlier ones, it says Zechat Zalik Levracha, Val Eli, regarding these, Nemer Rishayim Rishayim Yirkav. The Pasuk says that the name of Rishayim should rot. And the Gemara at the end is going to discuss who the Rishayim are and who these are referring to. So Gemara tells us, Ve'il Gnai Beis Beis Garmu. Beis Garmu is mentioned Lignai. The question is, why? So Beis Garmu became Mais Lechem upon him over the Asai, Volei Ratzu Lamed. Beis Garmu, they were experts in how to make the Lechem upon him and how to take it out of the oven, and they didn't want to teach it. The Lechem upon him had to be baked every single week, and it was an extremely unique shape. It had this very special mold, and it was this interesting shape. And remember, it wasn't a nice soft loaf of bread. It was hard. So if you weren't careful, it would crack and break. And they knew not only how to make it properly, but also how to bake it properly, and they didn't want to teach how to do that. Now, the Chum weren't happy with this. So Shalchav Eviu, Manam Alexandria, they sent for and they brought craftsmen from Alexandria. They were experts on how to make lechem upon him, but they did not know how to do the Ridiyah. What was the difference? Beis Garmu would light up the oven from inside, make it nice and hot, and we have a slight gear change here. And they would bake it inside the oven, and it wouldn't mold. But the craftsmen in Alexandria, they would fire up the oven from the inside, and they would bake it on the outside because they didn't know how to take it out properly, and they were afraid it was going to break, so they baked it on the outside of the oven. It would mold throughout the week because it wasn't baked properly. And once the Chum discovered this, they said, everything Hashem created is for His covet. Says the pasuk, and it's not a covet to Hashem to have lechem upon him molding. And therefore, they sent for Beis Garmu. They asked them to come back to the original position. They didn't want to come until they got their wages doubled. Originally, they took 12 mana as their wages. And now they paid them 24. He says, used to take 24. Now they had to pay them 48. And Amru Lahen, the Chum asked them, why don't you want to teach how to do this? Amru Lahen, so Beis Garmu responded, we have a Masari from our forefathers, that this house is going to be destroyed. We don't want other people to know this. And then when the basement is destroyed, they're going to go do Avodah Zarah, and they're going to make this special lechem for the Avodah Zarah. Now the Chum were not really happy with this, and they felt that it was just an excuse, and that really they just wanted to keep the cover for themselves and not teach anyone. However, they were mentioned in a praiseworthy manner, that no one from the Garmu family ever had pasnakia, which is bread made out of sifted flour. They only ate paskiber, which is coarse bread from coarse flour. Why is this? So that people wouldn't say that they're eating from lechem upanim, they're using their skills for their benefit to eat very refined flour, and therefore they always ate coarse bread. And that's something that was very special about them. On to the next part of the mission, we said, they were experts with the k'tiris on how to make it, and here was their expertise. They knew what the herb of mala ashan was. It causes the smoke to go straight up, and they didn't want to teach anyone. And the Chum did the same thing with them. They sent for and brought craftsmen from Alexandria. These craftsmen were experts in how to make the k'tiris, but mala ashan lo hibikin, they didn't know how to do this mala ashan. What was the difference? The k'tiris of Beis Avtinus, the smoke would go straight up. That's what mitamaris va'ayla. Mitamar is like a lashan of a palm tree. A tamar, it would go straight up, and then paisa, it would branch out on top and then come down. But these craftsmen k'tiris, hoisa paisa miyad, it would spread out right away. And once the Chum discovered this, they said, everything Hashem created is for His own honor. Shemrat says, and it's not b'chavadik to have it like this. And therefore, Shalchachrein, they sent for Beis Avtinus, they didn't want to come back, until they double their wages. They used to take 12 money for the wages, and then they doubled it to 24. He says, they used to get paid 24, then they paid them 48. Now, Amrullah, they asked them, why don't you want to teach your skills? Amrullah, they responded, we have Masars from our forefathers, that this house is going to be destroyed. So that others shouldn't learn, and they're going to make a special k'tiris for their Avodah Zarah. Now, with Varm Halom, Maskirnos and Lashavach, and the following thing, they were mentioned in a praiseworthy manner. No woman from the family of Avtinus would ever go out with perfume so that people wouldn't say that they're benefiting from the k'tiris. And not only that, when one of the men from Avtinus would marry a woman from a different family, they'd make a stipulation before they get married that she is not allowed to put on perfume, again, so that people shouldn't say, oh, they're benefiting from the k'tiris. Now, more about Beis Avtinus. Said, I encountered a child from Avtinus' family. I asked him, Bini, my son, from which family are you? Amar li, he told me, from that family, meaning from Avtinus. So Amar li, I told him, Bini, my son, Avisech, your forefathers, since their intention was to increase their own honor and to minimize the covet of Shemayim, that's why their covet has now been minimized, because there's no Beis HaMikdash, so we don't need them anymore, and the covet of Shemayim has been increased. And Bavli, the Girsa is, it's in the same place, because there's no increase in Kavod Shemayim, but at least it's in the same place, and it hasn't gone down. And Rav Kiva says, Sachli Shimon Malagas, Shimon Malagas told me, that Malagat HaYisi HaSavim, I was gathering some grasses, me, and there was a kid there are from Leftina's family. Verisi Oisi Shabacha, I saw that he was crying. Verisi Sesha Sachak, and then I saw he was laughing. Omarti Lai asked him, Bini Loma Bechisa, why'd you cry? Omarti he told me, Akvoid Beis Abash and Ismait, because the covet in my father's house, then now it's been minimized, we're not Chashav anymore. So I asked him, Vlomas Chakta, why'd you laugh? Omarti, he told me, Al Kavod Hamatukan Tzadikim Lasa Lavai, because the covet, which is going to be for Tzadikim in the future, the Beis Mishu is going to be rebuilt, and they're going to need our skill once again. And what caused all this was, Hare Mala Ashan Lenegdi, I see the Mala Ashan herb right in front of me, and this is what reminded me of this. And Umesilai told him, Bini, Hareuli, please show it to me. Amrili, he told me, Masaris Bialim Havaisai, I've Masaris my forefathers, Shaloila Haroisa Liberia, not to show it to anybody. And Ariachimunui tells us, Pagabi Zakanech Michel Beis Avtinas, an elderly man from Beis Avtinas encountered me. We have to add into the Girso, Umagilla Starim Biodoi. He had a Megilla Starim, which is like a secret of Megillah with secrets in it. He was holding on to it. It had all the herbs, the Ktyras, the picture, what they were, and how to use them. And Amrili, he told me, Rebbe, Lishavar in the past, Hoyubes Abed Snuin, the people in my father's house, they were Tsunua, they were discreet, they could be trusted. And they would hand this Megillah one to another. But now, they're not trustworthy. Please take this Megillah, be very careful with it. When I came and I told this over to Rabbi Kiva, his eyes filled with tears. He said, now, wouldn't mention them derogatorily anymore, because clearly what they were saying the whole time is really true. Due to the fact that this elderly man handed the Megillah to somebody else, it must be that they really were trying to keep it away from Avdei Avodah Zarah. That says Gemara, V'kula and all them, Matsu Masla Devrehen, they found an excuse, a real reason for why they did what they did. As we had said, both Beis Avtinas and Beis Garbu explained they didn't want it to fall in the hands of Avdei Avodah Zarah. And it was the same thing with Hogdas ben Levi, he didn't teach a special way of singing because he didn't want it to fall in the hands of Avdei Avodah Zarah. Chotam ben Kamsar, except for ben Kamsar, because there's no reason that other people should not know how to write Yud Kei Vav Kei all in one shot, and that's not something that could be used for Avdei Avodah Zarah, and so he didn't have a good excuse. And we have a further explanation of this, Kai Tanin Taman, that we learn from Sechas Shkalim, Elu Heina Munim Shoyim Mikdash. The following people were in charge of jobs in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishnah goes through a whole list of people who were in charge. They were the top of certain things to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. And these people, minus Ben Kamtzer, are mentioned over there. Now, this machlekes when these people lived. Rav Chizkiya Amar, Rav Chizkiya says, Rav Simon Rabbanon argue about this. Chana number one says, Kishire called over their Balimnois, that the list of all these people in the Mishnah are the most kosher people out of every generation. They didn't live all in the same generation. The Tana was just gathering the greatest people that were in charge of these jobs across many generations and put them all in one Mishnah. The other one says, the Tana, who was the author of that Mishnah, was simply listing the people who were in charge of those jobs in his generation. So Manda Amar Kshiri called over Dar Balimnois, according to the first Manda Amar, that all the people mentioned in those Mishnah are the most kosher, the greatest of all the different generations. So now we have an understanding of the last line of our Mishnah. Remember we had said, regarding the earlier ones, Zecher Tzadik Levracha was said, and regarding these, it said, V'shem Rishayim Yirkav. So what does that mean, the earlier ones? So according to this Manda Amar, it's Al Kulam who Omer Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It's regarding all of them, not only the ones of the previous Mishnah who clearly did things L'Shavach, such as Mun Baz HaMelech and Hilani HaMalka, but also Beis Gomer and Beis Avtinas. At the end of the day, we say Zecher Tzadik Levracha because we see that they did have a good excuse, a good reason for not teaching their skill. And again, the riot for that is because that Mishnah Maseches Shkalim mentions the Kashire Dar V'dar. It mentions the most kosher people, and Beis Avtinas and Beis Gomer are listed there, so it must be they were kosher people. However, Manda Ar Mishai Ba'isai Adar Mono, Masha B'dayroi, according to the Manda Amar, that those who are mentioned in Maseches Shkalim are just the ones who happen to be in charge of that job in that generation of the Tana who was writing it, so it doesn't mean that they were special. Therefore, Al Kulon Hu Omer V'shem Rishayim Yirkav, regarding all these in the Mishnah, we say V'shem Rishayim Yirkav, clearly the Chamim did not accept their excuse, therefore we mention them derogatorily. And so according to this Manda Amar, Al Min Amar Zechat Zalik Avracha, regarding whom did they say Zechat Zalik Avracha? Al Ben Katan of Chaveirav, on Ben Katan and everyone else, from the previous Mishnah, who clearly did things that were good, but not on anyone in this Mishnah. Now just going back to our story of Beis Gomer and Beis Avtinas, how they were originally relieved from their job, and then they were invited back, and they got double pay. Val Kulon Hayy Ben Zayma Omer, regarding all the Ben Zayma said, Mishalcha Yitnu Lecha, from your own, they're going to give you. In other words, the money that's coming to you, what you're deserving of, Hashem is going to give to you no matter what. And Ubishimcha Karanaischa, they're going to call you by your name. Even though you're relieved from your original position, it seems like you were demoted, don't worry, if you're deserving of it, it's going to come back to you. Ubishiftecha, it's really supposed to be Ubishivchacha, Moshiva Noischa, they're going to sit you or they're going to place you according to your Shavach, your praise. Meaning when you do get reinstated, you're going to be as Chashav as before, you're not going to have lost out anything. And Ve'in Shechel Fnei HaMakayim, there's no forgetfulness in front of Hashem. Ve'in Adam Negev B'muchan Lecha, no one could touch what's prepared for you. If Hashem has something for you, he has a job or Chashivas or Parnasa or something like that, even though it seems like maybe other people are taking it, don't worry. If it's meant for you, it is going to come to you, it's going to be given to you. Hajnalach Amrul Hena Amuna, Malzar finishing the third parak of Maseches Yuma. Just like we finished this parak together, we should finish the entire Maseches Yuma together. And of course, all of Shas Yerushalmi together. We're going to stop it for the day. I pick up tomorrow beginning the brand new Perek. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.